rather than undertaking the arduous alternative of supplying ships and soldiers. So the Athenians used the tribute to buy the ships and build them, to man them with Athenian soldiers. And the result was that by, again, the middle of the 5th century, the Athenian Confederation had turned really into an empire governed by the Athenians, which the Athenians themselves recognized was a tyranny. A tyranny that did some good things, but which was impossible to leave once you had joined. And so the tribute flowed into Athens. And even the center of the confederation was changed from the island of Delos, the island of the god Apollo, and centered at Athens. And the Athenians began to use the money as they saw fit to beautify their city and to pay for the first great democracy in history. For in 461, the Athenians carried out a set of political reforms that transferred the democracy of the kind that it fought at Marathon from a balanced democracy into a radical democracy. The men that fought at Marathon had been citizens of a balanced democracy in which, yes, the people were sovereign. The assembly of all Athenians meeting together made all decisions of war and peace, but there was a supreme court, the Areopagus, called simply from the place where it met, the Hill of Mars, but made up of ex-magistrates, so indirectly elected by the Athenians, which could override, veto, a decision of the Athenian assembly. By reforms of 462, 461, the power of the Areopagus was stripped away. And from this time onward, there was no challenge to the authority of the Athenian assembly. No appeal from a decision of a court made up of Athenian assemblies. And the leader who put forth this great reform is one of the greatest democratic statesmen in history, Pericles, the son of Xanthippus, worthy to rank with Abraham Lincoln and Winston Churchill. Like Churchill, he was an aristocrat, a man of wealth, a man of complete integrity, a man of powerful intellect who consorted with the greatest minds of the day, a man who believed that reason could solve all things, who would have said, whether the gods exist, we don't know. We must act as though men alone measure. And he guided the Athenians to create the first government based on the ideal of the greatest good for the greatest number of citizens. It was a radical democracy in that its ideal was that every citizen was capable of handling any government job. Almost all magistracies, there were some exceptions like the generals, but almost all magistracies were chosen by lot. Any Athenian citizen could stick his hand into a vase, and if he pulled out the white ball, he was archon for that year, or he was chosen to be on a committee to inspect the warships. However, what good is the equality of opportunity to serve in government if you can't afford it? And most Athenians were small farmers or small artisans. And so pay for government service was essential. And how do you get the pay? From the empire. So the empire provided the pay in order to allow you, the Athenian citizen, to serve in government. And they did serve. Service to government became the most important of their ideals, along with military service. That person who is not interested in politics, says Pericles at one point, has no business here whatever. And so the ideal was to have every citizen as fully engaged as possible in government service. And this was done by committees. Most government business was handled by committees of 10, allowing for as many people, again, as many citizens as possible to serve. Now to repeat, a citizen was a male. A citizen was required to serve in the military, and that was the root reason why women were not citizens in this full sense. They did not serve in the military. And the idea of the demos meant the nation in arms. So these are males serving and making the policy. You, after 2 years of enforced military service from 18 to 20, you were then graduated, received a shield from the Athenians, and became a full-fledged member of the assembly. And there you served for the rest of your life.